I want to pick up tonight in verse number 1 and then skip down to verse number 6. The Bible said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And then in verse number 6, the Bible said, well, let me read verse 5. Let me read verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." I want you to do something for me. I've never done this before, but the Lord showed me something last night as I was reading this text. Look at the latter part of verse number 4. The Bible said he loved us. See that right there? Then look at the first part of verse number 5. You can make a sentence out of this. He loved us even while we were dead in sin. Isn't that amazing? Amen. He wasn't waiting on us to get right to love us. God loves sinners. Amen. God hates sin, but God loves sinners. I think that's a wonderful thing tonight. The Bible said here, "Even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, for loving us. We pray, our Lord, tonight that you would manifest your presence, our Lord, and your power here in this service tonight. God, I pray tonight that Jesus would just help us, our Lord, that we might, Lord, see what you're up to in our life. Then see, Lord, what the enemy would like to do in our lives as well. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to glean truth that would transform our lives. Help us to serve you with gladness till you come. I thank you, Lord, that we can, by the grace of God, run with the patience, the race that's set before us. I thank you, Lord, that by the grace of God, we can hear you say, "Well done," one day after a while. I pray, dear Father, that you'd help us to live in such a way, serve in such a way, God, that we'd be able to hear you say that. I pray, God, for that one tonight that's not saved. Lord, some way, speak to that heart. Draw them, Lord, with cords of compassion to yourself. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We tried to magnify the truth this morning, how that God loves sinners and how that they're wanted, even when they're dead and their trespasses and sin. Tried to magnify as well how that the devil hates sinners. He hates you. He hates me. He hates everybody. Amen. Yeah. The devil reminds me of a bitter Christian. Everybody's wrong except him. Say amen right there. But I'll tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart, there's another aspect tonight in this wanted, dead or alive. See, after that we get saved, we're no longer dead in our trespasses and sin. And we're alive in Christ. But that doesn't mean the struggle stops. And that doesn't mean the battle is over. And that doesn't mean that we're not wanted anymore by both the Lord Jesus and Satan himself. We're both wanted. God, give me something this afternoon. I want to share it with you. And I believe this really will wrap it up. I believe everything that we're facing, we could wrap it up in these three things. There's three words tonight I want to look at in these verses that the Lord has given us. The Bible said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Last Sunday, Brother Billy preached on more than enough. Aren't you glad God has more than enough mercy and more than enough grace to get the job done? I believe there are people in the world that think they've gone too far, that think they've done too much. But I believe God's grace is more than enough, amen, to reach where they are and to help them. God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. I want to pick up on this word together for just a minute. And I want you to stay with me. Listen, I don't know of anything in our church that's going on. That's not why I'm preaching what I'm preaching tonight. I believe God helps sometimes to head us off at the pass and show us what the devil's up to. Amen. What his tactics are. And you know, one of the first things that happened when the Lord saved me is he put me in a family. He put me in the family of God. I had a pastor that loved me. I had people that loved me. Amen. I had brothers and sisters in Christ that loved me. Let's look at this word here together for just a moment. The Bible said he quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive. You say, how alive are you, preacher? I'll tell you how alive I am. I'm just as alive as Jesus is. Amen. That's what baptism is a picture of. Buried with him in the likeness of his death, but raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in the newness of life. And so what God does when he saves an individual, he puts bursts that individual into the family of God. He puts him together with a bunch of God's people. He puts him together with Christ. He puts him together with other Christians. And just as sure as God's putting something together, the enemy's going to come along and try to tear it apart. Are you listening to me? God wants us. He wants our fellowship. Wanted, dead or alive. We're talking about the alive part tonight. God wants us to fellowship with him. God wants us to fellowship one with another. God wants us to fellowship around the word of God. God wants us to fellowship in the work. Are you listening to me? Amen. I believe when we visit, when we go to the hospital, when we do things together, amen, I believe it's a wonderful blessing to the Father to look down and see his children working. The key word is together in love. Amen. And if God wants us to be together, you can mark her down. The enemy wants to tear us apart. How many believes God wants families to be together? Well, it ain't no wonder in this generation, amen, Satan is doing everything in his power to tear families apart, to tear the family of God apart. And what I want us to see tonight is that word together as we look at the fellowship. Now, not only did he quicken us together, but the Bible said he raised us up together and then made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It looks to me like it's important to our Father, and we're wanted in heaven to be together, amen, in this Christian walk that we have. And I don't know about you tonight, but I know tonight the enemy will sow little thoughts. He'll cause you to think things you ain't got no business thinking. Would somebody help me tonight? He'll cause you to say things you ain't got no business saying. He'll cause you to listen to things you ain't got no business listening to. He'll cause you to watch things that you ain't got no business watching. Somebody help me tonight. And the whole idea is to break our fellowship with Christ, break our fellowship one with another, amen, that the world would die and go to hell without God. Listen to me tonight. Jesus told his disciples, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when you have love one toward another. And I believe tonight, like I said, I believe the Lord's just trying to help us, amen, to realize every time that old enemy gets a chance, he's going to try to drive a wedge between a husband and wife. He's going to try to drive a wedge between a man and his wife and their children. He's going to try to drive a wedge in the house of God. He's going to try to drive a wedge just any way that he can, because just as sure as God wants us to be together, and I've done read it three times, amen, the word together, the enemy wants to tear us apart. I don't know if you've ever watched some of the animal kingdom shows, but a lion is without mercy when it catches its prey. The lion actually rips its prey apart. How many knows what I'm talking about? And I tell you, our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? That's what he wants to do. Our kids that are going into school this year, our kids going off to college, I'm telling you, we have an enemy that absolutely wants to eat their lunch. He wants to devour them. Amen. They're wanted by the enemy. But thank God Almighty, they're wanted by the Lord Jesus. And they can, with the help of God, stand for what's right in these days. Amen. I see that word fellowship right there. Wanted, dead or alive. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad the Lord wants me. I'm glad when He saved me, He wasn't finished with me. He had just gotten started with me. And Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to be wanted. I'm going to be wanted by my Savior. And then I'm going to be wanted by the enemy. How many knows that? Every decision in life, when you really look at it, amen. You say, preacher, why did the devil show up in the garden the way that he did? I tell you why. He couldn't stand. He couldn't stand for Adam and Eve and God to be together. He hated it. Amen. He hated it. And so he did everything. Why did he show up in that home? Why did he have Cain killing Abel? I'll tell you why. He can't even stand for a home to be together. Amen? And his tactics have never changed. And so God wants us to be together in fellowship. He wants us. We're wanted. Our fellowship is wanted. I want to say something to you tonight. I talked to a pastor last week, and I'm not going to get too close to home with the situation, but what he was referring to was people in his church suffering, people in his church dying, people in his church going through great trials and tribulation. And he sought counsel, and this is what a man told him. Listen to me carefully tonight. I've never heard anything like this in my life. He said, what you need to do is keep those people at arm's length. I want you to think about what I just said. I looked at that pastor and I said, brother, that don't sound like a shepherd to me. I said, a shepherd to me would take him up in his arms. He's not willing. Amen. He don't want no part of that. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. If we're together, we're going to hurt together. We're going to rejoice together. We're going to suffer together. Hallelujah. We can stay together through it all. Amen. I believe God wants us to stay together. Amen. I believe the devil, friend, in a statement like that, you need to keep those people at arm's length. That's of the devil. That ain't of God. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to keep my grandchildren at arm's length. I'm not going to keep my children at arm's length. I'm not going to keep anybody in this church at arm's length, because I love you and God loves me, and put it in my heart. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, He wants us to be together. He wants us to be together. The word fellowship, I thought that was good. Amen. God saved us that we might fellowship. You know, there's nothing wrong. I really appreciate what Brother Mitchell said. I heard him say it in Sir Gawainsville. But you know, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. But he said when we love it more than we love God. Sometimes... people aren't thinking about the church service as fellowship. They think you're going to have food, or you're going to have some kind of fun together. And I'm not against that. But I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, in my heart, I hope you all are this way. Whether we're here or whether we're all in our own homes, I sense a fellowship that is so sweet. Hallelujah. Only God can give that kind of fellowship. Only God can give that kind of fellowship. He raised us up together, made us sit together, quickened us together. I say hallelujah. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. That verse many times is misquoted. They'll say, where two or three are gathered in my name. But Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. I believe with all my heart it's important, the fellowship of God's people. Secondly, what's the devil wanted, dead or alive? What does God want out of those that are alive, those that have been born again, those that have been saved? He wants fellowship. Number two, he wants faithfulness. Let me show you here. The Bible said that in the ages, to come. He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just as sure as God wants you and I to be faithful, we're wanted. When we're alive in Christ, we're wanted. Our fellowship is wanted. Our faithfulness is wanted. Why? Because, listen, God wants us to be trophies of His grace in the ages to come. Well, let me ask you something. This will shed a new light on it for you. Who shows up when you determine to be faithful to your Bible? Who shows up when you determine to be faithful in prayer? Who shows up when you determine to carry a burden for lost sinners? Who shows up when you determine, my friend, that you're going to be faithful with your pocketbook and you're going to support missions and you're going to support the work of God? I'm going to tell you who always shows up. We're wanted from both sides. Say amen right there. Ain't that right? I'm telling you, just as sure as God wants us to be faithful, there's an enemy that tries every way that he can, amen, to hinder our faithfulness in the service of God. He wants to hinder. The Bible said that, listen, that we might stand before him with confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That tells me that there are a lot of God's people, or at least some of God's people, will be ashamed on the day when Jesus comes again because they have not been faithful to the Lord. And the reason, my friend, many times is because they did not recognize that the enemy was doing everything that he could to throw a monkey wrench in their life, that they would not be faithful. Won't be faithful to the house of God. Won't be faithful to the Word of God. Won't be faithful to pray to the God of heaven. Amen. God wants us to be faithful. I believe with all my heart there's a contest going on. We're wanted, dead or alive. We're wanted. And God wants us, my friend, to understand the fellowship and the necessity of it, the faithfulness and the necessity of it. You see, this faithfulness here not only is in what we do, but it's also in what we don't do. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. You better look out when somebody starts bragging on themselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's not only what we're willing to do in our faithfulness, but it's what we do not do. Amen. I believe one of the reasons we enjoyed Brother David the way we did this morning, he was boasting on the grace of God. How that God, amen, saved his soul. Amen. How that God would use him, amen, in the ministry. And what a blessing that was to this preacher. The Bible talks about fellowship. The Bible's talking about faithfulness. But look at verse number 10, and I'll close tonight. The Bible said, for we're his workmanship. Many people quote verse 8 and verse number 9 and never quote verse 10. We're his workmanship, created. By the way, when I was down at Dad's the other day, you know, Dad remarried last year, and there in the home where he lived, there was many, many things that even since they've been married that he crafted. He put together a table with benches out of wormy chestnut. It's nothing short of absolutely gorgeous. He put together some shelves. And in other words, I guess you could tell that Dad had put a lot of thought, put a lot of time, had really wanted to do a good job at what he was doing. Amen. Can I tell you this? You and I are not fly-by-nights with God. He's put a lot of thought into us. He's got a lot, amen, invested in us. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He invested his life in us. We're his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus. That's where it all begins. Outside of Christ Jesus, a man is lost. He's on his way to hell. But when we get saved, we're alive. We're in Christ Jesus. He created us in Christ Jesus. And the key here is unto good works. So many people, if you see people that are putting down good works, now listen to the context, because good works won't save us, but saved people ought to have some good works in their lives. Amen. I believe good works, my friend, pleases God. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe, listen, so many times if you start talking about anything that's the least bit controversial, people will say, well, God don't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. That's the truth. But man is looking at the outward appearance. And the outward appearance is supposed to be a reflection of what's going on in the heart. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I believe the fruitfulness, this last thing here in this chapter, you see sin's work against us. You see God's work for us. You see God's work in us. But the key to the Christian life is not a man or a woman or a boy or a girl working for God, but it's God working in and through a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It's God's work through us. That's what God wants to do. He wants to work through us. He wants to work through us. There's a lady today, and she happened to be a black lady. That I'm just telling you, she's a black lady. I walked in over, took the preacher over to Mama's house to eat. I was looking for you, Houston. I was hoping you'd buy us something to eat. Amen. No, I'm just kidding, Brother Houston, but we didn't get over there about 1 o'clock, and I'm telling you, we were standing out there in line. That preacher looked at me and said, the food must be good around here. I said, son, it's worth waiting on. Amen. It's good. It's good. But this lady walked up to me. Just, oh, give me a big old hug. She said, you had a baby born back in December. I said, well, a grandbaby, kind of, sort of, I guess. Amen. Father Abraham, right? Amen, Brother Anthony. Amen. She said, I recognized your voice. She said, we was in the waiting area there where the babies were being born. And I started showing her pictures of my baby, grandbaby, and she started showing me pictures of her grandbaby. Amen. We had sweet fellowship. You know why? Because she knows the same God that I know. Amen. And I tell you, I believe in this world that we live in, the enemy will do anything that he can. You know, I love my wife, and I want to make it to heaven. Amen. Loving my wife, being faithful to my wife. Help me. But I tell you, one of the healthiest things I think I can do is remember I have an enemy that would love to drive a wedge between me and my wife. I want to make it to heaven. I tell you, I was so proud of my children. Way in Daddy's home going, I tell you what, my children were right there. I say hallelujah. Sometimes kids are here, there, and everywhere and could care less. Amen. I'm just proud of that. I just hope our family can make it out of here to glory together. Amen. Serving God together. There's fruitfulness in that last verse. The Bible talks about unto good works which God hath before ordained. Now listen to me tonight, and I'm going to close. We're wanted, dead or alive. When we're alive tonight, when we're saved, we're still wanted. God wants us. God wants us tomorrow. God wants us today. God wants us this week. God wants us for the rest of our life. He wants us to fellowship. He wants us to be faithful. And He wants us to be a fruitful people. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you this. The Bible said, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Brother Rose, when God saved you, He already had a walk planned out for your life. The happy Christian is the one that's walking through life saying, show it to me, Lord. Show me the next step. Amen. You lead me. You guide me. That's what a shepherd is. Amen. You lead the way, Lord. You show me which way. You show me when to turn. You show me when to stop. You show me when to go. You take my life, Lord. And I believe that when the Bible said, hath before ordained, that every born again Christian, God has a work for them to do. He has already ordained, before He ever saved you, before He ever spoke the world into existence. You know, I want to say this. You might say, preacher, you shouldn't brag on the choir. Well, I will if I want to. Amen. But God didn't ordain that everybody sing. If you don't believe that, get outside the bathroom window and listen to me sometime. Amen. I think God likes it only because the Holy Ghost can interpret it before it gets there. Amen. But God did ordain. God had it in some people's, in their plan. He had it in that plan for them to take their place in the choir. And what a blessing in revival. What a blessing. I mean, Brother Ralph, maybe you never think this way, but you wonder, will they come? Will we just have a handful? Will we just have one side? Or will we just have the middle? Or will we just have the other side? I'm just telling you, my friend, God is pleased when we're working together, when we're staying together, when we're faithful, and when we're fruitful, doing the work that God wants us to do. Amen. Everybody, Brother Kenny and Brother Jeff, everybody don't have that burden and that heart and that, I guess, I don't know if you would call it a knack. I almost believe it's a calling to go out here and get these youngins and bring them in and just love on them, amen, understanding that, you know, their life is in my hands. I can remember when I was a child. I can remember, I don't know how many Saturdays that those people would come and knock on the door. My mom and dad were not living right. And they knew they weren't living right. And if dad was home, he was working most of the time, but mom would take off. She didn't want to talk to him. You say, preacher, why? Because there was somebody that wanted her that had a hold on her. Say amen right there. And it wasn't the Lord, amen. But thank God Almighty, one day the Lord got a hold of mama. And the Lord got a hold of daddy. But I go back to that bus ministry. I go back to somebody that loved me enough to knock on that door Saturday after Saturday after Saturday and say, youngins, are you going? Youngins, are you going? Well, no wonder when I got saved, I wanted to be part of that. Amen. When God saved me, I walked in my pastor's office. I said, pastor, if it needs painting, I'll paint it. If it needs vacuuming, I'll vacuum it. If it needs cleaning, I'll clean it. If you need me to teach a class, I'll teach it. If you need me to do anything in this world, drive a van, I'll drive it. I just want to serve God. Amen. Has there ever been a time in that in your life where you just wanted to serve God? Whatever God said you would do it. Amen. I can remember that bus. Big old bus. School bus. It was cheaper back in them days to run buses. You could buy them for a song. And we had that big old bus. And I can remember going down through there and many times, just one particular two little boys, you could open the door in the morning and their mom and dad be laying in there, didn't even know the children left the property. I had their permission, you understand. And you could go back at 1:30 in the afternoon, and when the boys went in, they were still laying right where they was when we left at 8:30 that morning. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's a special calling, amen. And God helps us, amen, by giving us the church, the gift, everything that's needed to get the job done for the glory of God. Them two boys one time was acting up in the back of the bus. And I stopped the bus in the middle of the subdivision, pulled the brake. And I got up and I walked back and I said, boys, you're not going to just act like I'm not even in the world when I'm talking to you. And they just kept acting like I wasn't even in the world. And I just grabbed them both by the shirt collar. Went like this and backed up down the aisle of that bus carrying both them boys. 7 or 8, 9 years old, something like that. Set them down there in the seat behind the driver's seat. I said, sit there and shut up till I get you home. You say, preacher, what is that? I don't know what it is. It might have been flesh. I had about all I could take. Say amen. But it might have been what some people call tough love. They got down off the bus and they looked up at me and they finally spoke up. They said, "We ain't coming back." I said, "Well, if you can find a preacher to love you like our preacher loves you and a church that'll come and get you like our church does," I said, "I believe it'd be best for you all and us too if you didn't come back." That's what I told them. Guess what? They came back. You want to know why? They knew they were loved. Brother Randy, they were two of the best buddies I ever had in this world. Amen. They had never had anybody to correct them. They had never had anybody to love them enough. Amen. They were acting like my friend just climbing the wall. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God has a work for you. He has a work for me. He has a work for our children. He has a work for our grandchildren. Wouldn't it be a blessing, Brother Larry, if Aaron would discover that God wants him? Amen. And that God can use him. I guarantee you the enemy has convinced him otherwise, brother. But we know better. Amen. Amen. God has grace sufficient, amen, for every need. And I believe just as sure as we're wanted by the Lord, when we come to that new life in Christ, we're wanted by the enemy. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. He don't want us to be together. He don't want us to be faithful. He don't want us to fellowship. And he does not want us to be fruitful for the glory of God. Amen. How many's glad you come this way tonight? How many's glad to know you're wanted? You're wanted. Coulter, you're a young man, son, but you're wanted. God wants to use you. Was Brother Coy your papaw? You had a godly papaw. God wants to use you. Amen. God wants to use you. How many knows Brother Coy Patterson or knew him? Say amen, Brother Joe. There's a prayer warrior went home when that man went home. Amen. And I tell you, I believe God wants us to step up. Amen. Step up and serve the Lord in these days. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, dear Lord, for the Bible. Lord, I believe one of the worst things in this world to experience would be not to be wanted. I'm so glad you want us, Lord. I'm so glad, God, you can help us. I'm so glad, Lord, that your will, Lord, is made known to us in your word. I ask you now, Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, help us this week. I know we have an enemy, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Paul said, "Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, you said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Lord, I'm so glad our labor is not in vain. There are times, Lord, when we feel like it. Lord, our feelings will deceive us. God, I pray tonight you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to stay together. Lord, I pray you'd help our families to stay together. Help the family of God at Bible Way. Not only at Bible Way, Lord, but all the churches around where the truth is being proclaimed. God, help them to stay together. Help them to let their light shine. Help us to make a difference in this community till you come. Lord, I pray for those that might be here tonight lost. I pray you'd continue, Lord, to be gracious, to be long-suffering. Help them, Lord, that they might come to know you before it's too late.